The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Have the changes in the banking industry affected you? With the looming possibility that your local bank branch might disappear and more web, mobile, and social technologies, what will the changes mean for you and your business? Welcome to Breaking Banks with your host, Brett King. The possibility that banking is no longer a place you go, but just something that you do, has become very real. Now, here is Brett King.
Sir, you're on Breaking Banks. Welcome back to our show again this week. We've had a couple of really interesting weeks. We had some really interesting data from the guys at Google Finance and Ron Shevlin from ITE and Avantis talking about changing consumer behavior. We also got into Bitcoin and digital currencies. So we had a couple of really interesting shows. So, you know, when we talk about the banking industry and the disruption in this space, often, you know, the question becomes is what is banking going to become? How is it going to change? How are we going to evolve the way we do banking? That's really the generation or the evolution of the show, why we started this. And, you know, I guess one of the questions is what will the word bank mean in a few years? Yeah, when your bank account is your smartphone, when that's how you get your daily balance, when that's how you pay for stuff at a store, how are you going to consider your bank? Is a bank the best placed organization to give you advice? Is it the best placed organization to be integrated into your mobile phone as you go about your daily banking activities? This is a very interesting question to explore. If you take a market like M-Pesa, which we talked about on a show a couple of weeks ago when we were interviewing Dave Birch. I don't know if Dave's listening in today, he usually is. But when we interviewed Dave and we talked about M-Pesa in Kenya, you have a situation in the Kenyan market where, at the start of the decade or the start of the century, 2000s, early 2000s, you had about 20% of the Kenyan population that had a bank account. Now, that's not a lot. If you take economies like the United States or the UK, Germany, France, typically 70 to 80% of the economy is banked. That means most people have a bank account. And yet in Kenya, you have a situation where over the space of a few years, starting in 2006, M-Pesa, through the mobile phone, became the dominant type of bank account, the dominant payment device. People now use M-Pesa more than, from a population perspective, more than any other typical bank account. So how is the nature of our connection to our money going to change when we have this availability, access to data, access to information, better context of our money? This is what I'd really like to explore today. But I want to start with, in particular, a trend that has emerged over the last few years, which is what we broadly classify as personal financial management. If you're in the industry, you probably hear this referred to as PFM. And we have joining us today some experts in the field of personal financial management, PFM tools, and so forth. First up, we have Sean Ward from Geezio. Sean, are you on?
I'm here, Brett.
Welcome to the show.
I certainly appreciate the invitation. Thank you.
So I just want to pipe in here. Dave Birch is on Twitter again. He's a regular listener, long-time listener, as he says. He said, M-Pesa isn't a bank account, it's a payment account. I think the two will begin to separate. I think you're right, Dave, but I think, a Kenyan who's using their phone to pay for stuff in a store and get money out of an ATM, I don't know whether the differentiation is lost on them. But, Sean, tell us a little bit about yourself and about Geezio, the organization you work for.
Sure. Well, you found it. Again, Sean Ward, so I'm one of the co-founders along with Peter Glyman of Geezio, current CEO. We've been around since 2007, and we currently have over 200 bank and credit union clients, and they range from $122 billion in assets Regions Bank to a $24 million credit union. Three primary goals we have with our PFM. One is to help bank and credit union customers and members get closer to their finances. And I think that's the, what's in it for the customer is really providing a subset of tools that help people better manage their finances. There's a lot of people out there that honestly don't know if they make more than they spend. But some other values we think we bring is there's a lot of data analytics in those hills as far as people's spending habit trends. And we're looking to use the data intelligence, one, to help people better manage their finances, but also for the banks and credit unions themselves to help them better serve their customers. The more intelligence they know about their customers, the more likely they're able to provide relevancy and targeted guidance to their customers. And then from our vantage point, the third pillar, which we think is just as important, is we really think of kind of PFM as an experience integrator that, to really help create frictionless banking. There are a lot of silos of how people bank, what's currently online, what's mobile, what you get in statements. And I think PFM can really be the bridge that brings commonality and brings a consistent experience across all channels.
So let me ask you this, Sean. For those banks like Regions and others that you're working with, the credit unions and so forth, when they come to you and they say, we want to have this capability, what's their driver? You've said better knowledge of the customers, but do they see this as a way to increase revenue? Do they see this as a way to cross-sell and upsell to customers? Or do they just see it as a tool that's going to give customers a richer experience within their platform? What's the driver for a bank to introduce these sort of sets of tools?
That's a great question, Brett. And we've seen different banks really have different drivers here. And some, really view PFM as the tool that helps them become an advocate for their customers. Everyone knows reputationally how bad banks have gotten beaten up lately. There hasn't been much tangible guidance that the bank can provide their customers. Well, PFM is ideally can be positioned as that equalizer. It can help their customers get closer to their financial goals. It can make banking a bit more aspirational and help curb some of that discretionary spending. So there is a faction of bankers that are really focused on becoming a stronger advocate to their customers. Now, equally, there's another contingent of banks that it is about the bottom line. It is about how do they grow their business? How do they grow product share of wallet and loan growth? And similar to the first camp, they don't think they can do that unless they have one, customer trust, which has gotten beaten up in the past 6-7 years, but then also the insight and data analytics to really know about their customers, so they're mining intelligently and they can serve up and they can target and make relevant offers to people who need that. So they can really, as banking, and you've been the biggest advocate of this out there, as we get less and less branch focused and banking's less branch centric, how do you stay engaged? How do you keep that intimacy you have with the customer? A lot of banks view the PFM as the tool to keep that strength in relationship.
Okay, so now I'm going to put my customer hat on. I've logged into a Regions Bank or one of your other FI partners that use your PFM, your personal financial management tool set. Explain to me what it is that I see that's different from my typical, account balance and list of transactions and the ability to transfer money. What am I seeing within this that gives me that that differentiated experience?
Sure, happy to. First thing you'll see is, and I think you said it best, whether it's online banking, whether it's mobile banking today, you'll get that list of transactions. And, you know, online banking really grew up as a utility. It's a cheaper way for me to look at my balances, see my latest transactions, and, you know, ideally make a transfer. From a customer perspective, we're trying to transition that from a utility to, you know, more of an advisory advocate type role. So the first thing you'll see as a customer is not just a list of your transactions, but you'll see those transactions categorized and scrubbed. So at upon login, instead of a list of transactions, you'll see a list of transactions letting you know how much you've spent on utilities versus groceries versus dining out. So that's the first point of insight that you'll get when you come into that PFM, is you'll see some categorization and some high level summaries of where your money's going. Now from there, you know, there are really two different types of people that really kind of engage the PFM. The first is those that are very interested in their day-to-day finances. And we talk about these people as, you know, very budget conscious, not sure whether they make enough money to pay their bills, but, you know, are really looking for easy tools to help them do that. And for those types of people, you know, the utility, the products that they use, the first is a cash flow calendar. And think of this as, you know, an automated way to replicate the calendar on your refrigerator. There are a lot of households, how they manage their finances, they write down the days they get paid, how much, and they write down their bills and when they're going out. So
it's like that old methodology that personal financial advisors used to talk about, the envelope method, where, you know, you get your salary at the start of the month and you allocate your expenses in envelopes. You know, I'm going to put some in my dining out envelope and some in my utilities envelope and some in my kids' schooling envelope. And once that envelope's empty, I can't spend any more money on that category of spend.
No, that's exactly right, Brett. So there, and again, even with your short-term finances, you know, there are two types. So I'm describing, you know, how you track bills that need to be paid and the calendaring and some of the alerting if it looks like you're not going to have enough money to pay your bills. So that's sort of your fixed cost to make sure, because primarily the first thing you need to do is make sure you can afford your fixed costs each month. And then secondarily is spending targets that we have. Traditionally, this is what people think of budgets. And again, this is more of helping you curb your discretionary spending. It's the dining out. It's the entertainment. It's the impulse shopping. And we try to provide an elegant way for people to see that, because a lot of people, the problem is when people start spending money, they don't want to look at their finances. And you'll see this, that people, when they can't pay their bills, well, guess what? Those people don't open up their bank statements. They don't want to know. So you really have to take the chore. It can't feel like work. It has to have that aspirational tone. It has to, you know, allow people easy insight into it.
So, Sean, quick question before the break. We had Derek Sutton, who I think you might know Derek, actually. But Derek's asked a question. When do you think PFM simply will become the common basic online banking experience for customers? When do you think these sorts of tools will just be commonplace as part of our online banking experience? 30 seconds.
I think that's undergoing now. I think the biggest problem with PFM is the name PFM. I think there are companies out there, CSI and Q2 from a banking perspective, that are baking in PFM natively, and it's no longer going to be a separate tab. It is going to be the primary part of the customer experience, that you'll have out there. So I think that is a task that's undergoing now.
Right. So listen, what I'd like to do, Sean, is I'm going to bring in some other guys from Money Desktop in a moment to talk about their take on PFM, and then I'd like to bring you back in the next segment after that and talk a little bit collaboratively about how we can sort of build these better advisory financial management platforms and what the next 5 to 10 years is going to look like. You're okay to stick around?
Happy to. Thank you very much.
Very good. So after the break, we're going to be talking to Ryan Caldwell from Money Desktop, and we'll continue on this theme of talking about personal financial management, personal financial performance, and how these tools can help you connect with your own money. Back after the break.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
Is your business model robust enough? In today's ever-changing business environment, people are working to transform themselves, their futures, and their business. Tune in to Business Reinvention with your host, Nancy Lynn. To stay ahead of the game in business, you have to constantly reinvent yourself and your organization. With Nancy's experience and that of her guest experts, you'll learn from stories of inspiration, innovation, and forward thinking. Listen for Business Reinvention live every Monday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
If you want to know about investing in emerging and frontier markets, or if you have experience in this field but still need to know more, tune in to Emerging and Frontier Markets Investing with Gavin Graham. Gavin explores news, current trends, and insights about both categories of investing. His guest experts, along with his own knowledge, will help you stay above the line when it comes to growth potential, whether in funds or equities. He will look at what to invest in and avoid. Tune in to Emerging and Frontier Markets Investing with Gavin Graham every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Eastern Time, 6 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to Breaking Banks, featuring your host, Brett King. To reach the show today, please call 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Or send an email to breakingbanksradio@gmail.com. Now, back to the program.
You're back with Brett King, the host of Breaking Banks, and great to have our Twitter audience striking in today. We've got some of our regular listeners. We've got Brad Lima, Jim Morales, Aiden from the UK, Dave Birch from the UK, and a lot of people chiming in with some questions and so forth. Guys, we will get to those questions, and thanks again for your participation. At this point, I'd like to invite Ryan Caldwell into the discussion. Ryan's from Money Desktop. Ryan, tell us a bit about yourself, your role, and tell us a little bit about Money Desktop.
So, gladly. So I'm the CEO and founder of Money Desktop. And Money Desktop was formed a little over 3 years ago. And so I've grown rapidly over those 3 years. We have over 400 banks and credit unions as clients. Our clients include companies like Visa and First Data. So we go all the way from the large types down to the $10 million credit unions. Companies like Visa, you know, are protecting global brands, $65 trillion in transactional volume. So they have a very different threshold than a $10 million credit union as far as everything from security to function to you name it. So we kind of have to span that entire breadth, and our platform has to support those different types of clients. We view the whole movement of PFM as being probably the most critical thing going on with banks and credit unions right now.
You have to say that, right?
Well, you know, it's fascinating. I'm always fascinated by the acronym PFM. It's one of those things that it's one of the few acronyms that the acronym has taken on less meaning than the original words. Usually when you see acronyms, the acronym becomes to mean so much more than the original two or three words that originally represented. But in PFM, personal financial management is such a a strong set of words, and it covers such a huge breadth of things that people would want to do and ways they'd want to interact with their bank or credit union. But yet PFM, the acronym, has actually reduced that meaning down to just being spending pie charts and budgets and basic things like that. And so it's kind of fascinating for us being a PFM provider where we view it in its original definition, pre-acronym, and not just in the post-acronym sense.
So tell me, you know, what do you want it to be defined as? I mean, if you're talking about this tool set now and in the future, and I'm a consumer that's using this tool set, you know, whichever client that you've got is different from the end user of this. So I'm an end consumer, and you're trying to convince me of the value of this tool set. How's it going to help me?
Well, that's a great question. I think the best way to answer that is a lot of CEOs of banks and credit unions that I meet with, when I meet with them, I'll walk through, well, what are your top three objectives of how you want to serve your end users or take care of your members, your customers? And always in their top, it's often it's their top, their number one, but it's almost always in their top three is they want to be the primary financial institution. And what always fascinates me about that comment is, they're saying, we want to be the PFI, we want to be the PFI. It's almost like this drumbeat, we will be the PFI, primary financial institution. But yet, when I say to them, okay, if I waved a magic wand, and all
Ryan,
of a sudden...
Ryan, just don't use too many acronyms all in the same sentence, please. No, keep going, PFI, primary financial institution.
Primary financial institution, sorry. So primary financial institution. So if they want to be that, then the next morning, I'll wave a magic wand and all of their customers or their members will show up saying, hey, I had the realization that I want you to be my primary financial institution. What would you do? And so what's fascinating is all these banks and credit unions have set as a top objective to be the primary financial institution, but yet if that wish was granted and those users all of a sudden showed up the next day and said, all right, you're my primary financial institution. Here are my problems. I've got to save for my kids' college fund. I'd like to save for that new home. I got to worry about retirement. I've got to make budget work this next month. And all of these problems that they have, and all of a sudden the bank or credit union would say, well, hold on. I just wanted to be your PFI. And the end user would say, well, what did you think that means? For me, that means helping me manage my personal finances. And that is where we have this huge gap. And that's the gap where the expectations of these end users are so much higher than what banks and credit unions have been used to being able to deliver given previous technology that we have this gap. So we have a desire for them to be the primary financial institution, but an inability to fulfill it.
So, you know, if I was to translate primary financial institution, just see, this is your main bank or institution that you use day to day for your banking.
Right. And a way to look at it from the end user's perspective is an end user doesn't want to, when they're worried about their money, they don't want to have to go log into 3 different places or 10 different places to go figure out how they're doing financially. They want to log into one place and make it easy and seamless and in a very quick and easy way digest, where am I financially? Am I okay?
So why would I go to a bank and do that, or a financial institution, and see that as that source of information? Why wouldn't I use another tool set? I mean, there are tool sets out there, for example, like Mint, which I guess you guys would probably consider one of your competitors. But why wouldn't I go to a third-party solution to get access to this platform that can tell me how I'm doing with my money?
That is an excellent question, and the reason why is because the answer is you should go to a third-party provider if your bank or credit union doesn't provide the right interface. So we're seeing some great innovation in the space of outside parties that are outside of the banks or credit unions that are providing a piece of this and providing a growing piece of it that is solving enough of the problem to where certain end users are feeling like I'm better off, even though I might want to go to my bank or credit union because they're not providing the solution. I have no choice but to go to a third party that's outside of the banking circles. So the answer is they're going to go there and they're going to keep going there unless the banks and credit unions provide a compelling solution that offers the same quality of a solution. If they can't do that, then they're going to go somewhere else.
Okay, so that's a good place to start. Now let me talk about actually when I'm a user and I come in, you know, to the money desktop environment. What am I going to see? You know, what's the type of tools that I'm going to be using, and how often would I be using these tools? You know, do I use them weekly? Do I just log in once a month? How does a typical user use this tool set that you've got it with Money Desktop integrated into one of your clients?
So that's one of the beauties of the Money Desktop platform, is it truly is a massive platform that can be consumed in a wide variety of ways. So for certain users, it really depends on what the bank or credit union wants. Now, we have a bunch of pre-created with two lines of code, can be inserted into the online banking experience in whatever way the bank or credit union would want, that solve things from budgeting to cash flow analysis to spending to guiding, financial guiding, to you name it. Now, those are pre-built tools, but we also have, because the platform can be consumed via our API, and our API, we believe, is by far one of the most powerful APIs in the market, it enables that bank to say, we want it to look this specific way, or this credit union to say, well, I want to come up with my own type of tool and just use the data that's provided via this feed to make some entirely new interface. And so it's really going to vary depending on how the bank or credit union wants to represent that data. But the user should be interacting with it many times a day. It's one of those things that when they go out and swipe a card at lunch, all of a sudden their phone should buzz and it should say they're over on this budget, or their general cash flow is a little too low in one account. And so that type of interaction, we imagine the same way that you'll see college students walking across college campuses now, where they used to keep their phone many years ago in their backpack, then they started keeping it in their front pocket, and now they carry it in their hand and it never even goes in their pocket. That whole idea of constantly interacting with your mobile device, we're going to see that now be more and more prevalent in banking, where people will literally, you swipe a card, it buzzes. And it shows you, good job, you know, you're on track, you're not on track, whatever it might be. This constant idea of feedback, we're going to see become prevalent.
So, you know, let's say today the average American, and you are dealing in the U.S. market, you know, the average banked American probably has two or three bank accounts. Is part of this tool set, do you think, going to either decrease the number of bank accounts they have, or is it going to increase the number of bank accounts? Are people going to be more, are going to start cherry picking financial services that work best for them? How is this going to change the dynamic of my relationship with a financial institution over the next few years, do you think?
Excellent question, because it's actually, the answer is both, but it's going to come in phases. Initially, you're going to see a little bit more cherry picking. You're going to see a user saying, well, this is wonderful. I can see all of my finances through one portal. So I love the fact that this one card gives me certain types of airline miles. Or I love the fact that I get gas discounts and I happen to buy a lot of gas on this one card at a higher percentage rate. So in those cases, they'll start to cherry pick. But what's going to happen is that's only going to continue for a certain period of time before the primary financial institution that is now able to see all that flow will say, we're losing a huge amount of traffic because we don't offer a certain type of airline points card, or we don't offer a card that gives a certain percent back on gas, or we don't have certain types of deals or offers included. And as they are able to see this full picture and now have that massive competitive advantage of understanding where they're losing business and exactly to what degree they're losing business, that's going to enable them to say, we should shift our product line. As they shift that product line and adjust, then you're going to see a consolidation. So you're going to see a period of cherry picking followed by a strong period of consolidation.
Okay. So tell me about what's happening at Money Desktop right now. Tell me about your organization, how many people in your team, and what are you guys focused on right now?
So we have about 100 people in our team, and like I mentioned before, we serve over 400 banks and credit unions, and some of our large partners like Visa, of course, are dealing with global brands and so forth. And so we're making sure our main focus is on technology. So a huge portion of our team are engineers that are building what we feel like is the platform that will allow these partners from the smallest to the largest to be able to go into the next 5 years with extreme confidence that they can build on that platform. So you'll see, I mean, if you visited our offices, you would see just a ton of engineers cranking away late into the night building all these parts of this platform that are built to be very agile to allow whatever partner, whatever kind of need they have, they can immediately adjust certain parts of that API or certain parts of that platform to fulfill that need. And we're constantly getting feedback from them on what parts of it mean the most for them. So I would say if you look at Money Desktop, you just see a highly technical organization.
Yep. Okay, good, good, good. So listen, after the break, what I'd like to do, Ryan, is I'd like to invite you and Sean back, and we'll talk about the role that mobile and tablet have had to play in the PFM revolution, particularly in the last couple of years. Does that sound all right? You can stick around?
Sounds great.
Great. So after the break, we're going to talk about how these tool sets, this personal financial management, these advice tool sets that we're seeing emerge, how this has changed as a result of the emergence of tablet banking and mobile banking in the last couple of years. You'll be back with Breaking Banks right after the break.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
Are you and your business well prepared? For what, you may ask? Well, what about workplace violence, cyber attacks, or general business disasters? Listen for Fear is Negotiable, Business Survival Skills 101 with your host, Pamela Hill. We'll bring you case studies of the businesses that don't prepare and the consequences that can happen. We'll also bring you best practice strategies that can help you keep your business running smoothly. Tune in to Fear is Negotiable, Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Business Channel.
Dialogue is the single most powerful leadership tool we have to make a difference in the world. Leading Conversations with host Cheryl Esposito creates a place for that dialogue. Tune into the Voice America Business Channel every Friday as Cheryl hosts new conversations among leaders from around the world in business, government, art, economics, and social change. We'll explore big ideas and everyday actions and learn how their own leadership has led them to discover a newfound sense of possibility in the world. Leading Conversations with Cheryl Esposito, bringing big thinkers together in conversations that make a difference, right here on the Voice America Business Channel every Friday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time.
Voice America Business Network, the bottom line in business.
You are listening to Breaking Banks, featuring your host, Brett King. To reach the show today, please call 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Or send an email to breakingbanksradio@gmail.com. Now, back to the program.
You're back with Brett King. Excuse me. You're back with Brett King. We're on Breaking Banks. We're talking personal financial management tools today. Or as some call it, personal financial performance. I noticed that Brad was saying, Brad Lima, who's one of our regular listeners, Brad was, I can't see the acronym he had now, but personal financial application, I think it was the way that we can talk about this or think about it now. So let me ask you guys, and Sean, I'll direct this question to you initially. Tell me, how has the device, the tablets, mobile, this need to access information more regularly on the move. How do you think this is changing interaction with tool sets like PFM tool sets? Now, is my tenancy going to be using this trying to get access to this information a lot more frequently? How does this change the nature of the information? Does it become something that's pushed to the customer's phone versus where I just log in and check a tab on my online banking? How do you think the mobile and tablet's going to change the role of PFM? Sean, okay, Sean dropped off, so would you like to answer that question for us, Ryan, while you're on?
Sure. Well, with tablet and mobile, it is probably the most critical way that a user is going to interact with banking in the future. They're interacting with almost all of their different services that they consume beyond banking via mobile. So you're going to see more and more of that. But I think the really important thing to touch on is the difference in how the platform supplies that tablet or supplies that mobile. Because if you don't have context that's user-specific, or you're not going to get the same adoption. And what I mean by that, if you look back at the analogies of like a Yahoo versus a Google, the very beginning days of Yahoo, it was a directory, and it seemed as if it solved the needs because it had, you know, the 10 directories that you could go to. But when Google came along and said, well, let's make the search results where there aren't 10 set directories, the user can choose whatever path they want to go down, and then the search will adjust to what users tend to click on, what's more relevant, and it'll figure out relevance and so forth. As we start to see that get adopted from everything from categorization to description of the transaction to the actual identification of the transaction, so that you know that a certain transaction is not just a deposit, but that it's direct deposit, or that you know that a certain transaction is not just simply bill pay, but it's bill pay that came from a different provider. So as the system can interact to that specific user's way of wanting to interact with their money, that's when you're going to start to see a Google-type solution that I think is going to just completely triumph over the old way of doing a Yahoo-type directory. And I think PFM to date has not fully made that jump into the Google-type solution. Once we do that, users are going to have a highly personalized experience that is going to make that mobile experience take it to the next level.
So, Sean, I understand you're back with us. So, let me throw that question back to you as well. You know, how do you see the role of mobile and the tablet changing the nature of PFM in the medium term?
Great. Well, I think it's going to change on two regards. I think one, the expectation of what people are going to get. Mobile is all about quick bursts of information, relevant information, a lot of that point of sale. So when you're buying something, how does that tie right to your budget? Quick bursts of information. Tablet becomes more of an experience. It's more exploratory. How's your budget? How have you been doing historically? So the tabbed approach, I would say, is dead. It's more native experience, but it's going to allow different experiences.
Okay, so we got Brad Lehmer on. He said the primary financial application was the goal here, an interface across all aggregated accounts that includes payments. So let me ask you guys, you know, one of the first things is just to get a picture of your total financial health. So, you know, we've seen a lot of move to aggregate accounts. You know, we have the likes of the Yodlees and the Cash Eds, these platforms that sit behind these many banks and allow you to pull all of your different online banking information into one platform so you can see all of your money. But, you know, if it's about managing money, isn't it also about the ability to move money around different accounts and, you know, pay bills from, you know, across this platform? Isn't the very name personal financial management become something more tactical, something more about actions? Ryan, what do you think, where do you think the tactical element of this is going to come from? You talked about the Google platform, but rather than just the searching side of things, what about the functional aspect of this in terms of control and access to your money, Ryan?
Definitely. The whole concept of once you understand where you are, being able to immediately, quickly and easily take action on that is the obvious next step of PFM. And so I think that we're going to see a huge amount of tie-in from other services. You're going to start to see things like bill pay, P2P, that will have tight integrations into PFM. You're going to start to see where bill pay will actually, in a very proactive way, it will reach out and recognize that you have potential bill pay or existing bill pay at other institutions, and then make the user only have to be reactive to say, oh, I acknowledge I have bill pay there. Yes, I would like to move that. Or when you have a certain transaction that was from a different account, being able to do that P2P payment with that transaction information as part of it means that that PFM is going to have to be integrated. So all the different parts of transacting money will no longer live separately from PFM. They'll start to have deeper and deeper integrations into PFM.
Okay, so now does that mean then it's also a tool that becomes something more proactive, that now I'm starting to understand the triggers for the need for, you know, an event that requires your action, some information that you should be aware of. Does that become something where you start pushing the PFM toolset out to the customer live as they're doing things day to day? Sean, did you want to cover that one off?
Yeah, I'd love to, Brett. That's exactly where it's going. I think now we have that out there from an alerting perspective, where you can proactively let people know where they are, the goals, or spending progress. But where that's going to turn in the very near future is providing those tools, as we talked about, at time of purchase. So when people are looking to make a decision, they're going to know not only the money they have available, where it fits in their budget, and where it fits into their long-term goals and plannings. Look out in the future and you can see where some of that Google Glasses and some of that future vision will also help. Not only are you looking at products, you can compare it to this price to other price at other stores, but you can also see how that price fits into your financial management and can you really afford that and what's the implications of buying that now.
Okay, so guys, let's get into how we might come back to the future of this. I'm very interested in the future of this whole advisory space and the tool set to be able to give advice. We'll come back to that after the next break. But right now, let me ask you guys, and I'll start with Ryan. You know, a bank comes to you and they say, you know, we would like to incorporate some of these tools for our you call them end users, but, you know consumers, banking customers. You know, what's the typical life cycle of this implementation? How long does it take? How much effort is involved from the organization? How quickly could I get these tools integrated into my customer's banking experience?
Great question. So we had about a $30 billion conglomerate that with about a week heads up, we gave them access to our API, and then about a week later, we're flying out to sit down with them in person to discuss how they would implement the API. By the time we actually landed, when we sat down in their conference room, they had fully coded the entire API and actually had our solution inserted into their online banking experience on their test servers. So, you know, it can be done in an incredibly short period of time. What really shocked us about that implementation was that they received no advice or no guidance from our side. They simply just read the API docs and coded to them. And so we know that it can be done very, very quickly. We've had a few partners that when we sit down with our help, you can actually code to the API with a few lines of code, implement it, and put it into online banking and have spending pay charts, budgets, net worth graphs, cash flow analysis, all those types of things can be inserted in just a matter of hours once you've done the core coding, which can take a few days.
Okay, so that's pretty impressive. It can happen pretty quickly. Sean, you know, when and I know you guys have by extension now got millions of end customers on the system through your partner bank. So, can you tell us a little bit about the average the average breakdown of PFM users? How quickly does it take a bank like a Regions, for example, to, get their first a few thousand customers on the platform, and what is the typical profile of those types of customers using the system?
Yeah, happy to, Brett. There's a few different deployment options, but we'll talk about, Regions specifically. So Regions has leveraged our API. So for all their online banking customers, we're powering PFM, and they're getting a pie chart analyzing their spend for every user. So you immediately see some value once you log into online banking. From that, you can drill into, PFM proper, as we know it, budget, cash flow, net worth. And what we're seeing is you'll typically drive 15 to 20% of online banking customers within the first 3-4 months of PFM usage, depending on how it's marketed and positioned.
Okay, sounds pretty impressive. Okay, so guys, this is what I want you to do. I want you to think about a world in 5 to 10 years' time where technology like Google Glass is ubiquitous. Maybe not Google Glass itself, but certainly this rich data overlay environment we're seeing that Glass is sort of creating for us right now, and how the type of role that PFM, and we can't even call it PFM at that stage, how that's going to change the way a customer interacts with their bank from a context and data perspective over the next 5 to 10 years. And that's what I'd like to get into with you guys after the break, if you're up for it, still around. Okay.
Sounds great.
And we have some great questions coming from the Twitter sphere today, and I think that from James Robert Lay and a few others, Derek Sutton, and we're gonna get you guys some of those questions answered in the final segment. So we'll be back with Breaking Banks right after the break.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network. In sales, are you a lion or a vulture? Lions don't wait, they just go for it. Vultures hang around until the lions are finished and just pick up the scraps. How can you set yourself apart as a lion? Join the other aspiring sales lions and listen to Forget Patience, Let's Sell Something with host Ty Maynard. You'll learn the tips and strategies of top sales professionals. You'll gain more clients at a faster rate and at higher margins. If you're a sales professional, business owner, or executive, listen in every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific on the Voice America Business Channel. Calling all CFOs, finance, and risk professionals. Your call to action is to help your company achieve financial excellence. How? Master risk management, cost control, and strategic decision-making by implementing game-changing technology advances like mobile, in-memory, and cloud computing, and more. Where? Learn from top thought leaders each week on Financial Excellence with Game Changers, presented by SAP. Join us for Financial Excellence with Game Changers, presented by SAP, Tuesday mornings at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, 12 noon Eastern Time on the Business Channel. We're always talking business.
Talk to an expert.
Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to Breaking Banks, featuring your host, Brett King. To reach the show today, please call 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Or send an email to breakingbanksradio@gmail.com. Now, back to the program.
Back with Brett King, your host of Breaking Banks. So you heard the number for the dial-in. I know we've got a lot of listeners out there today. Don't be shy. Call in. We'd love to have you give us a live question on the air. The number is 1-866-472-5790. Or you can email your inquiries to breakingbanksradio@gmail.com. Or what I see today is most people are asking their questions via Twitter, which is also completely satisfactory. So this issue of personal financial management comes back to the fact that day-to-day management of our finances is actually, for most people, actually pretty tough. If you look at the statistics in the United States, about 55% of the population are actually living paycheck to paycheck. So by the implication is that actually we need these types of tools helping us to manage our finances to get us through the month. And certainly if we want to save money, we really need some assistance with that. So technology theoretically should be able to help us. Now, one of the big differentiators, a physical banking system with physical branches we'll talk about is the ability of you to walk into a bank and get advice. So here's my question to you two guys. In respect to this type of technology, how are we going to see distributed advice from this, these types of platforms, personal financial management platforms? You know, what sort of advice do you expect in 10 years' time if I've got this environment, either through my smartphone or some technology like Google Glass, and I walk into a store and I'm considering buying that flat screen TV and I need to know whether I can afford it? Is this where we're going to see this type of technology going? Is this the sweet spot for PFM technology? Let me direct the first question, that first one, to Ryan. Ryan, where do you see sort of the distribution of this advice or management capability going with technology?
Yeah, so this is one of the most exciting areas. We're going to see some really cool innovation. And it's not going to occur once you even enter the store. It's going to occur as you approach the store. So we're going to start to see PFM solutions implementing a geofence type solution, so that as soon as you approach a mall, or as soon as you drive into the parking lot, or as soon as you whatever, if you're already over budget, or if you're close to going over budget, it may buzz you and say, you have $35 left on that shopping budget, or you have $100 left on your grocery budget, or you have, and it will notify you in advance as you break geofences. So geofencing is going to become a really critical part of PFM. Another thing that we're going to start to see more and
could
more
could you just, for our listeners, could you just explain geofencing in a bit more detail?
For sure. So a geofence is, it's based off the GPS device in your phone. So if we know that a certain, just like if you go and search on Google Maps and it'll show you the location of all of these businesses, it will know that there will be a certain grocery store at a certain location. So that will, eventually it won't just be a dot on a map that the grocery store is located at that dot. It'll actually have a full fence around that grocery store, including its parking lot. So in the, you know, even in the future beyond that, you'll actually know the difference between if you're parked in the parking lot or if you're actually walking into the store. And so as we start to see all these fences, it will know that you've approached a mall or are walking into a mall or approached a shopping store, something like that. So that phone, your phone with this GPS, will know that it's now quote unquote broken, that geofence, and then an alert can be sent to you reminding you of what your budget is. So you'll start to see some of those things being enabled. So if a user says, and they can opt into it and say, yeah, I'd like to receive that advice. And that's where the branch simply cannot compete, because you can't put a person from your branch in your pocket and take them with you everywhere you go and have them advise you throughout the day. But you can do that with a mobile device. What we're also going to start to see more and more of is forecasting. So if you really start to crunch data properly, you're going to be able to analyze that on average they spend X amount per day on fast food or on eating out or on gas over any given week, they spend X amount on gas on average. And as you start to make these estimates, you can now forecast not just cash flow, but you can not just say that someone's over budget, but that they're likely to exceed their budget and give them advice on how to stay on that budget. So you'll start to see a lot of the forecasting coming in, as well as geofencing and a lot of other options, but those are two of the really big ones I think we're going to see.
Okay, so Sean, you know, along those lines, do you think, you know, are you guys thinking of that your product sector is becoming more like a messaging platform? You know, one of the questions, I want to sort of combine a couple of questions that have come from the Twitter stream. You know, one about, is this, you know, does this now become a financial application that you're using more than you use your bank, you know, on your device? Or is it a matter of trying to be, you know, is it being more inclusive from a customer perspective, or is it more integrated into your life? You know, what's the role of this? Does this become a messaging and advice platform rather than a tool set, Sean?
Yeah, I think it is full immersion integration into your life. I mean, this is fundamentally how you're going to communicate with your money. And this is, you know, Ryan brought up a good point with geofencing. When you shop, the only thing I would add to that, I would expect that would be the time if there's relevant offers and coupons, whether it's loyalty from that merchant, whether it's competitively, you know, at point of sale is where all your decisioning factors should be presented to you. And they are, you know, again, it's what are my options on a specific product? Is this the right store? Can I get it cheaper at another store? How does this interact? How does this look in my budget? Can I afford this? What's the consumption choice I'm making here? You know, in real time, I should know, well, if I make this big purchase, how's that going to impact my vacation fund that I'm saving for? So I think it is all about that real-time relevant interaction that you get. You know, and the the most critical time for that information is at point of sale.
So, I just want to wrap up quickly, guys, because we've got a couple of minutes left. But James Robert Lay, JLA, who you guys probably know, he said, people wake up and they say, I need a car, not I need a car loan. So that the financial product is a mean to an end. So in that sense, because we're asking this question, how can I afford a car versus, do I qualify for a car loan? Would you expect that this type of tools or these questions maybe might be more integrated into a Google or some sort of lifestyle tool set rather than being integrated to a bank? What do you think, Ryan?
So I think that's where banks and financial institutions need to really realize that that's the next innovation and that they cannot simply sit on the sidelines and only offer basic auto loans and credit cards and mortgages and checking and savings accounts. They have to realize that they have to be in the business of giving financial advice, and they have to be that app that they're viewing as, oh, my bank advises me of this. So a perfect example would be, let's use the geofencing analogy again. You walk onto a car lot, and as soon as you walk on, it says, hey, you're pre-approved up to this amount, pending two or three things being verified, right? And all of a sudden, that person now has a very valuable exchange with their bank that was very informative, that was valuable in context of where they are. And that's what we're going to see more and more of, is that if you're searching on Google for a car loan, or if you happen to be at autotrader.com or wherever, that your bank would want to know that information and be able to feed back in an offer for an pre-approved auto loan or something like that. Right. That's going to
happen. Ryan, so listen, Ryan, we're running out of time, so I'm going to have to jump in there and thank you both for a great show. One really nice message to close on. Jeff Marsico indicated that PFM would really be a tool for the century when it can pick a romantic gift for his wife. So I thought that was very insightful. Thanks, Jeff. So thank you, Ryan, and thank you, Sean, for joining the show this week. It was a great show. Lots of very productive questions. Next week, we're going to be talking Siri and Lola, automated bank advice, automated systems that you can talk to your bank and find information out, and avatars even, how we're going to integrate that into the banking experience. Some really interesting look at these types of automated technologies. Join us on Breaking Banks next week to talk about how automation is going to change your view of interacting face-to-face and voice-to-voice with your favorite bank. Thanks for joining Breaking Banks. That's the show for this week.
You've been listening to Breaking Banks with host Brett King. Please be sure to join us again next Thursday at noon Pacific time, 3 p.m. Eastern time on the Voice America Business Channel. We'll explore more changes and challenges next week.